Well, my immediate reaction is what took so long? It's taken a decade for something that the case had no merit as far as we're concerned initially. And it's taken 9.5 years and numerous appeals just to get to this stage. And to have the sentence vacated is exhilarating, to say the least. So we're very happy.
We've, again, got a variety of legal experts here as well. For those of you that have read, been following this case, what are your initial reactions to what the court put out, this appeals court last week, and what it said and what, I guess, what it means going forward, too?
Well, I think I should say from the outset that I haven't really followed this case very closely, and this occurred at a time before I worked at the Boone County Prosecutor's Office, so I don't have any inside information for you, unfortunately.
Sure.
But I think in reading the opinion, I think what concerns me is not necessarily the result that was reached. And again, I don't know enough about the case to comment as to whether or not the conviction should have been vacated or not, but I think having worked in a prosecutor's office, having worked with the attorney general, and seeing some of the language that was included in that opinion, I'm very concerned about what that can mean going forward for the administration of some of these law offices.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, Rodney, too, could you help us a little bit on the process going forward as well? You know, we talked a little bit about with a bill here, but...
Well, specifically, I guess what John's referring to is the question of Brady and a Brady violation here. And so the opinion is critical of the then district attorney, Mr. Crane, who is now a circuit court judge. But the opinion suggests, states very clearly that it felt that this was important exculpatory material that should have been turned over as both a statutory and constitutional matter, and its failure to do so, in the court's view, undermined the court's confidence in the verdict, because if you look at the opinion, there were really two key witnesses who testified against Ryan Ferguson. The first was Chuck Erickson, the co-defendant. So his testimony was essentially a confession and said, I was involved and Ryan Ferguson was with me. So that was the linchpin of the state's case. But the corroborating witness was the janitor, who essentially said when he came out of the building, he saw two people in the alley. When he first he said, I saw these two people, but I didn't know who they were. Then his explanation for why it was that he suddenly was able to tell that it was Ryan Ferguson, Chuck Erickson, was he contended that he got a newspaper article while he was in prison. It was folded in a particular way, so he saw the pictures, but there were no names. And as soon as he saw the pictures, he testified at trial, he recognized the two people as the two people were in the alley. And it was only when he unfolded the newspaper did he then claim that he saw that it was Chuck Erickson and Ryan Ferguson, the names connected with the photo. Well, as the opinion lays out, the prosecutor sent one of his investigators out to speak with the wife of Jerry Trump, who was this witness. He sent his investigator out to speak to Barbara Trump. And Barbara Trump was asked about sending the newspaper article, and she said, I have no recollection of sending a newspaper article to Jerry Trump. So the investigator should have prepared a report, provided this information to the prosecutor, who in turn, under a case called Brady versus Maryland, this is classic exculpatory material, this material should have been turned over to the defense. Mm. Had it been turned over to the defense, they would have cross-examined Mr. Trump and may well have been able to discredit his testimony. So that's why the court ultimately concluded we're uncomfortable with the final result, because if you strip away Trump's evidence, that leaves only Chuck Erickson's testimony. The court did not say necessarily that it felt, in fact, it did not address the actual innocence claim, but it said, given the Brady violation, we're satisfied that we are not confident in the verdict, and therefore it overturned the conviction. So I think the larger problem identified here is one of the extent to which prosecutors are, in fact, complying with their obligation under Brady to turn over all exculpatory material. I want to make it clear, and maybe this will reassure John, I think the vast majority of prosecutors do turn over exculpatory material. Mm. But unfortunately, this is becoming all too common where material, not just recently, and not just here in Missouri, but across the country. This is a national problem where we have a certain number of prosecutors who are not living up to their obligations, their professional obligations, and this is causing a problem for our judicial system.